Welcome to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Straight talk, enthusiastic support, and heartfelt encouragement for you to open up to your sacred sexuality. And now your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Yay, my love. Thank you. I am excited and honored to be hosting and sharing each show. Each month we'll explore meditations, some stories, inspiration, education, awareness on these deep topics of sexuality, consciousness, tantra, and all the realms of our sexualities and bodies that sometimes don't get looked at, maybe feel a little hard to talk about or share, get squashed away or repressed. This is the place to hold some space for letting that all come back into our awareness and into the new realms of possibility. So as we explore today, first, we're going to settle in, take a breath, and I'm going to click the right button, and then we're going to breathe. Settling into the body, giving a little giggle sound, dropping in, letting your body, your breath guide you, being in the moment. Giving yourself permission to make sound. What's that feel like as you hum or vibrate, sigh, rumble, qualities of sound and your body and how it might invite anything that's complete, no longer serving, things that don't need your attention can drop away. Let your breath carry those away into the earth where they're cleared, transmuted. And know that, yeah, anything that needs your attention, it'll come back when it's ready. But just for now, give yourself some space to let go. And an inhale to reclaim, revitalize, let yourself feel breath, aliveness, prana, energy, nourishment. Draw that into your body. A sense of yes, more please, a welcoming. As you exhale away. So being here now in the moment. Maybe an intention of health, healing, and wholeness, new perspectives, new awareness, and shedding away some old layers, allowing yourself to open to new possibilities and recreate your relationship with your body. With a breath of gratitude, gently coming back into the awareness of your body, the space, opening your eyes and being in the visual. As I do that, I notice the sun is actually peeking through these leaves of these great pines that are right outside my window. And I'm really grateful to say that because I live in suburbia. It's so rare, I think, to have this beautiful old growth so close. And yet I do, and I'm grateful for that. I get to sort of be sandwiched between this big, beautiful oak tree and some pines and a maple. And even in my suburban backyard, can sink in and connect. And that feels really, really good to me. And it's also a bit of a segue into really the nature of what I want to share today, which is what's it like to meet the nature of balance? And balance in, it comes rooted from this inspiration around menstruation and cramping. We're going to come back to that. So balance in the nature of our sexuality, of menstruation, of bodies, what's it like to meet balance? And as I describe that here with balance, is here I am in sort of corporate suburbia, and, you know, I can look around and say, no, really, I don't have to go far for nature. There really is trees. There really are trees and grass and a way that I can plug in and connect with the earth right here in my own backyard. Even though I lived here for years thinking that I didn't have that. Oh, I have to drive or go far distances to get to quote, get to nature or relax in nature. And, you know, while that is still true and I still love making my treks out into the deep woods or to a lake, beaches, earth, there are still the times that every day, you know, every day I can plug in to the earth right here, right where I am. And that balance, walking that balance that, yep, okay, I'm in 3D world. I'm in the world of cars and garages and houses. And I'm right here. The land, the earth is right here. And it always is, no matter really where we are, even when we feel like we're completely surrounded by cement, we can bring awareness to the grid, the earth, the nature of plugging in to Earth Mother. And that's been a huge part of my journey and something that I really encourage everyone to really create that possibility for yourself. So repatterning the thoughts that, oh, I'm not near it or I can't do it, that yes, actually, wherever we are in each moment, we can really start to repattern how we see the world around us and maybe notice those little spots of green, take advantage of it. So in this topic today, what we're going to explore is something that came up really recently. And frankly, I'm super excited about because it's relating to my daughter. My daughter and her and I had a conversation about this. And it's a bit of what I want to share are some of her insights. So this is like young teenager insights on, you know, I was talking to her like, what should I do this? You know, what ideas do you have for this next show? And she's like, Mom, you should talk about cramps. And I'm like, okay, awesome. What does that mean for you? You know, and we had this big experience recently where she noticed what she was dealing with in her body. And so I talked to her about it and asked, what would that be for you? What does that mean? And she's like, well, Mom, it's the nature of balance. And I'm like, oh, okay, awesome, go on. She's like, well, balance, you know, balance in life, balance in food, balance in how you think. You know, it's not just, and it's the same with cramps. And it's not, so maybe the topic's more about the nature of balance and cramps is just an example. And I'm like, I'm just going to sit back here. I'm taking notes. So I let her go on. And she was like, yeah, you know, when we're in the nature of balance, we start to notice like, okay, what's, you know, what, how am I negotiating life? How am I negotiating food? So, you know, if I eat junk food for 2 weeks and then have a salad, that feels different. If I eat really good for 2 weeks and then have junk food, that feels different. And so for her, this balance, this how she navigates and negotiates life has a lot to do with living in many different perspectives and many different pieces of the world. And she integrates these really in a beautifully dynamic way. And I love hearing her talk, not only in this conversation that we were having, but this is common where we're talking and she's talking about how she's bringing the balance of perspective and seeing things from many sides. And she goes to a school that has a big conservative influence that she watches and sees from a really curious perspective. And then also sees a very liberal point of view or a very, you know, a different point of view. And so she really navigates it in a very interesting way. And so for her, she's like, well, so cramps, if you have like the same cramps for, she's referring to menstrual cramps, like if you have them, you know, 1 month and they're one way, then you expect them to sort of be the same way. But as soon as they're different, they can just take you over. And so for her, she had this incredibly intense experience that I was able to respond to and meet her with very directly, very quickly, which was really awesome that we could be together for this. And she moved through some of the most intense pain she's ever felt in her life. And so we moved through it together. And it was this place of like, she felt as if she were going to die. And yet as she met it and we moved it and I invited her, let's sit with this, let's breathe, what, you know, notice how you're feeling. And rather than gripping away from it, can you drop in? Let's feel your body. I get that it's scary and you want to push it away and you don't want it to be here, but can you let yourself meet it a little bit? And that was really hard. And I get that because as I'm sitting with my young daughter meeting this experience, I'm having these flashbacks of my own, you know, my time in high school, my time when I had to call my mom and have her pick me up from school. And I was terrorized by it because I was in this place like, oh my God, I'm not going to leave school. I need to be able, you know, to stay at school. I was a student that just hated missing things because then I'd have to make them up. And oh my gosh. So, and she has that similar thread. She's like, she won't leave school unless she's in dire, dire needs. And in fact, we'll come back to that piece of leaving school. But so she's having this, these experiences of this real strong intensity, so much so that she reflected later, it was like the worst. It was worse than when she broke her arm. It was worse than when she broke her foot. You know, these, and it, so that's an intense space for a body, a person to meet. And what we did, so the when she left, like, so again, she was called and said, hey, I'm noticing this and I need to leave. She felt horrible at school and I was able to pick her up. And I noticed that, oh my gosh, here I am thinking about picking her up and my brain is going back to the last time I picked her up from a school, which is like 5 years ago, which is, or whatever. It was years ago. It was a totally different school. So my brain had like, oh, I'll go to the office. And that was actually her middle school, not her high school. And I realized I'd never been to the office at her high school and she's a couple years in. And oh my gosh, what does that look like? So it was really interesting to have all this. That's how big of a deal it was for her. So rewinding back then, coming back to what she was saying was, these were intense and they hurt and she was scared and it was because they were different. Some, you know, like, wow, this was hard the first time, but now it's even harder. And this idea of how can she meet that? What would that be like? So I asked her, like, she's like, so you just got to find the balance. And I said, well, what do you mean? What was that for you? And she said, well, finding the balance to get it back, to feel better again. And I asked her what that meant for her, like what was balance in this intensity of the cramps? And she said, well, part of it was like the fact that it was so much different, it was making it worse. It was harder because she was scary. She was didn't know where it was going. And so what she found was the balance of coming back was actually not moving around. So she had been pacing and sort of, I need to distract myself and move and move and move. And that had worked for her at times, which is why she was coming back to it. But when she realized if she could slow down and stop, and my invitations, could she take a breath and be with it? She noticed later, she's like, by not moving around, it felt better. And I'm like, ah. So this balance of listening to her body, you know, what could we, when you really drop in, what do you notice? And she tried all these other things and she tried this, not moving around, mom, that helped. Wow. She said, and then tea. So I had, we were laying together and I was inviting her to feel and to listen, I was really just holding space for her to move through what she was moving through. I had offered some sage tea. And she was in a place she didn't want to move. She was finding some level of comfort. And so I was literally spoon feeding her sage tea, which was really, really sweet. And she said, mom, you don't have to spoon feed me. I'm like, hey, you don't have to move, right? She didn't have to kind of clench her stomach to try to sit up or be in a position to try to drink tea. I just fed it to her with a spoon. And that having that tea was part of her balance for getting it back. The next thing she mentioned was having someone there. And she's had times where she's had to kind of just deal with this on her own. And she's like, having someone there, oh my gosh, that was a really big deal, having you there. She's like, bodies just can't handle this all by themselves. Humans aren't meant to do that, is what she said to me. And I was just like, wow, kiddo, like how powerful to acknowledge that there are times letting people in, slowing down and coming into stillness actually is of service. and drinking a nice warm tea, letting that soothe your body. In this case, I chose sage because that can be really supportive for menstrual cramps, which is something I learned from Susan Weed, and I love her work. So to really rest into, and as we did, as we settled, she cycled through many waves of intense cramping, and then the tea started to kick in and calmed, and she talked, and she shared about her day, and she shared about the things that had been going on for her, and we shared together, and I held my hand just at her belly and at her back at different times. I rubbed her feet, and all of these times where we just met human contact and mother-daughter connection. And it's not just mother-daughter, although, gosh, was this powerful mother-daughter and really so sweet for me personally. It was also just human relating. Like she said, is someone there for me? Could someone be there? Like having someone there, that was part of her reclaiming and finding her balance to get it back. So for her, this thing was this like, how can I meet this and what balance, what are the pieces that I can dance with that will feel good? And she'd tried many other ways, and she tried ibuprofen. She tried, we'd work a little bit with motherwort. And she had tried again, pacing and sort of trying to hold it at bay and ignore it. And what she found was balance, you know, maybe a little of all of those things, maybe pieces of all of them, but the things that supported her were the things that kind of surprised her that she maybe didn't call on before. So when she could explore the balance of these different ways to meet the responses of her body and not just do it the one sort of fear-based way that says, oh my God, I don't know what's happening to me, and I'm going to just like tighten up and resist it with all of my power. She actually, when she relaxed and sunk in, found that the waves of heat, the waves of intensity and the cramping subsided. You know, they move through, they peak, but then they leave. And it's not forever. And within the hour or two that we shared in this particular deep part of the experience, it passed on through, and she felt much, much better. And that, you know, when she was talking about, you should talk about cramps, Mom, I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean for you? And hey, can I share this? And she's like, yeah. And how cool to feel good that she felt safe for this to be shared. So that whole nature of what's it like to find balance, what's it like in our bodies to notice and meet the balance of our needs, to explore and play with the times where, okay, am I going to be in gripping and resistance? Okay, that's one way to meet it. Can I also play with the balance and relax and see how does that feel? And does that change it? And can I play with dancing between these two? This is a really powerful awareness, and it was so beautiful to hear from such a young person. And I'm just really grateful to have this conversation and be like, hey, cool. Thank you for that. Let me take notes. It was very, very awesome. So with that, we're going to take a short break and come back as we continue to explore the nature of balance.
You are listening live to Body, Mind, Spirit Radio. Today is Tuesday, October 17th, 2017, and you are listening to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to talk with Leslie live on the air, give us a call. The number is 646-378-0378. That number again, 646-378-0378. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
The nature of balance. Balance, the balance of the balance of what I call feminine and masculine. And again, feminine and masculine not being gender, but just being these complements, this quality of our masculine being that fiery, active, analytical thinker, with the complement of the cool lunar feminine, the piece of us that is about surrendering and opening and allowing, the feeling, the balance, the thinking, the being present to balance the doing and the action and the outward world, turning our awareness inward, balanced with presence and action in the world, you know, sharing open love and compassion, balanced with taking an action or doing something, finding that balance, finding and connecting with what our balance is in each moment or in our lives. Notice how it changes through our lives. And I've noticed many ways that that's changed through my journey. Starting down a really hyper masculine analytical path, I got to a place where that was, it was for me unbalanced and very dry and crispy. I was on a trajectory that was going to just fry me out. And as I had the spiritual awakening, frankly, of pregnancy and birth of my daughter, this beautiful person who's now sharing this wisdom, that it was that process of letting go into allowing pregnancy to happen instead of trying to put it on the list of to-do things like I had done everything else, which didn't work for years, and just allowing it to be. And in that process, to reconnect with my femininity, my open, fluid, what I call the feminine energy ways, which are really the deep energy nature-based ways of the shamanic path and of many traditions that are about connection with the earth. That, you know, our masculine analytical thinkers, yeah, that's important, but it's only a piece of the value that I believe we can bring as humans in our balance. That also feeling into the body and listening to the messages of the body and witnessing what is emerging now. Can we slow down in such a way that we can bring the balance to our journey of, yeah, my cognitive brain has come up with this and my body says this. How do they meet? What decisions can I bring from the balance of the two rather than, oh, no, I have to do it this way because that's what my head says, you know, or being so maybe into the body awareness that maybe we just don't take as much action, which is also lovely, but, you know, bringing the two together, like making a difference, bringing our gift into the world in some way. What does that look like? Because like my daughter mentioned, we really can't do this alone. We are interconnected. We are all interconnected. We as humans are not meant to survive in a closet, you know, solo, disconnected. It doesn't work that way. In fact, we don't survive that way. There are deep-seated, rooted cores to the way our brain functions, the very deep reptilian part of the brain. It's very much wired around, we need to know that we're a member of community, that, you know, tribe, that other people have our back, that we can really rest in, you know, or we're at risk of survival, which is part of why that question comes up for ourselves of like, oh no, is anybody there? Oh, will somebody be there? Or when we feel alone or when we feel sad or depressed, sometimes that nature of like, you know, I'm going to kind of disappear off the face of the earth. That these are really common ways that we can start, that the brain, you know, will sort of get us into this place of thinking that it's hopeless. And what I want to invite is, it's not. We're never alone. We can bring our awareness back to that connection with others, with community, and with ourselves, and with nature in a way that lets ourselves reclaim that vibrancy of being alive. So in our sexuality, this balance, I like to bring it back to this, what I call sex drive versus sex awe, or in combination with sex awe. Sex drive and sex awe. And this comes from my journey of awareness and as I've been working with others, that, you know, often we, and especially in Western society, we look at sex. Sex has been very to-do list-ized, right? It's become like, okay, it's about drive, it's about libido, you got to get horny, get turned on, and then go, 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 do, 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 have this sort of experience of driving towards the peak of an arousal state, have this climactic release that may include an orgasm or an ejaculation or both, and then, okay, now it's over and done, and right, so that it's that to-do list kind of sex and sexuality, which don't get me wrong, can feel really pleasurable and nice, awesome. And it's only a piece of it. And sometimes it's only the one that gets seen because nobody learned any differently. And traditional media-based ways, entertainment-based ways of conveying sex and sexuality, which shows up all over the place in marketing and in even traditional films and stuff, but also in pornography, mainstream pornography, that sets up a level of expectation around, oh, it has to be this fast, quick, driven thing. I have to grab attention within 20 seconds, right, which is the way Hollywood type of productions are created often. This grab quick attention, have something really big and, sort of the money shot, the big intense scene, and then be done. And instead of letting it cultivate from this very innate, intrinsic place of allowing energy to build, allowing it to open and flow. So the other half, the piece of sexuality that gets lost is that slower, what I'll call wider, more sex ah place, right? So the sex drive, which is very young, very intense, balanced with sex ah, the yin, the soft, the flow, the open surrender, both of these, in all genders, this is not about sex or gender. This is about these, again, complements or balance of energies in bodies. And when I started to really formulate these two ways of describing sexual energy, part of what really woke me up to the separation is a bit of the science. The science geek in me got kind of geeked out. And the awareness that there's much more going on in the pelvis than what we normally think about in terms of sexuality and our sex organs. Often we think about sex, we think about the things at the surface of the pelvis, the clitoris, the penis, the vaginal opening. You know, sure, there's the vagina, that's a little deeper inside. But this sort of outward stuff, the clitoris, the penis, gets a lot of attention. And those are great. They're part of a nervous And in addition to those, there's a much deeper terrain, both in female bodies and in male bodies. And the deeper terrain, if we look at it from even the perspective of the nerves in the pelvis, this is the big aha moment for me. It was, I want to invite some awareness here. So we have two different facets. We've talked about this on another show as well, where we focused on sex drive versus sex ah. And so in summary here, these two facets of our nervous system that are part of the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system is that branch that handles the stuff that we don't consciously control, most of us. The, you know, advanced yogis actually can control some of the things in the autonomic control. And that's another topic. But coming back to just in general, the two facets within the autonomic nervous system that I want to focus on are the sympathetic branch and the parasympathetic branch. And one of the ways to sort of summarize the differences of those two is that the sympathetic is sort of the stress side. Not that stress is bad, but stress, like things that are active, and stress is how we actually can be act and engage with the world. We need things to act on our body, and we respond to things acting on our body. And that sympathetic branch is a part of that. The parasympathetic branch is the side that works with peace, rest, digest. Often in Western society in particular, we're moving around at 99 miles an hour at a pace that's like so fast and so cognitively driven. It's all driven from our analytical land. It's all driven from what I'll call a masculine presence that's about do, 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 go, goal-oriented, you know, think and plan. What happens is the other side, the feminine, the surrender, the open, the allow, the value of simply being gets lost and squashed. It gets trampled over by all this action. And we're missing such a huge piece of the value of our bodies when we do that. And I say that coming from my own experience of having squashed in my own body. I was the best at multitasking and overachieving and action for a lot of years. I also started to recognize that I am going to burn up and fry if I stay in this mode. So connecting with that side has been a piece of this quest of mine for the past couple of decades. And What I mean, as we come back to these branches, I want to talk about the pelvic nerves. So did you know that these nerves that we normally associate with our sexual function, things like the dorsal nerve of the penis, the dorsal nerve of the clitoris, these are part of the pudendal nerves, which are a branch off of the sympathetic chain that comes off of the sacral center and comes and innervates what I will call the more superficial areas of the pelvis. And by superficial, I just mean more at the surface, more at the openings. So the tip of the penis, the tip of the clitoris, the nerves that innervate the vaginal, like the labia, the outer lips, the scrotum, the perineum area, the anal opening area, and even another branch that innervates the tailbone, a little coccygeal plexus, which is comes off in a different way. Those are all part of the sympathetic branches. They're nerves that are a little more accessible. Quite, you know, when I mean that at a physical level, they're more at the surface. They're more accessible, but they're also energetically more accessible. They're more young. They're more active. Now, there's another facet, and this is key. There's this other facet of our nerves that are about, that are related to our sexuality, but some people won't even claim that. It isn't really announced. And these deeper nerves come off of the parasympathetic chain, or branch, I should say. This branch of the nervous system that's about, rest, digest. You know, I can't turn it on. I can't just say, this is the parasympathetic system is like the part of us that digests and moves food through the gut. So it's not like I'm in there going, okay, I need to digest this sandwich now and I'm consciously turning it on. No, this is about, can I let go? Can I come down in a way so that my nervous system feels safe and calm enough to recognize that, you know, all of these other functions aren't needed right now. So if we're in high sympathetic mode, we're running around in our day, we're getting a to-do list done, we're go, 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 do, 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 we're very sympathetically charged. What can happen is our body gets confused and has a hard time turning that off, and that's a longer discussion. But what, you know, in the typical balance of our day, as we go to bed at night, for example, that gives us a chance as we go into deep sleep where the parasympathetic system can come online. And that's when, like, the night crew comes out and cleans up some of that metabolic waste that's been floating around in our cells. We sweep that out of the way, and then, you know, we clear out these other products of cellular function and rest and recharge and rebuild. And the other piece that the parasympathetic does then in our sexuality is these deeper nerves are a part of the parasympathetic system. This nerve branch that innervates the pelvis innervates the deep space. So things like the cervix, the upper inside part of the vaginal canal, but deep inside, the cervix, the uterus, the G-spot, which is the prostate, I believe is also innervated by the parasympathetic nervous system because it's also its homolog, its analogous partner, the prostate in male bodies is innervated by the parasympathetic nervous system, as is the deeper territory up inside the rectum, top, like the fundus of the bladder. So we're in deeper, deeper territory when we are tapping into these parasympathetic nerves. So what does that mean? That means this yang, libido-driven, I'm horny and I'm all sexually charged and I'm in this friction-based exploration of sex, penis, clitoris. Like these are often these really yang energy, the really intense, more at the surface type of sexual energy. But there's another piece that sometimes gets overlooked, and that's the deep space, the sex ah, the deep nature of relaxing open, dropping into the womb, into the pelvis, dropping our awareness into our bodies, relaxing, opening, allowing. Base needs time. It needs to feel safe. We need to let go like this. Our bodies need to know everything's going to be okay. I can let go. I don't have to worry about time. I don't have to worry about, am I hot or cold? Like all my needs are taken care of. I feel really safe and good. I don't have a worry of when do I have to wrap up or clean up? Any of that is going to shut down the capacity of our parasympathetic nervous system to really let go. and to let, or, you know, to let ourselves activate or be in that parasympathetic, to let our bodies really let go. That is really easy. It's really easy to trample over it. And especially if we've been in it all our lives, which I know I was, and most of us walking around in Western society are, I mean, everything is set up around go, 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 do, do, do. So we're in sympathetic response a lot, which can set up, there are functions that start to shut down, right? Where we end up in that overload of stress response that has, we have a hard time coming down out of. So this is a cyclical, this is a cumulative and lasting type of process. When we start to work with slowing our body down, it takes time. It's not just, I'm going to slow down. So as we come back to sex and sexuality, it's not just, let's slow down for a few minutes, tap into this, and now we're done. I've noticed in my own body, there are times when it's taken 2 and 3 and 4 days of different facets of opening and releasing to explore the deep nature of some new beginning, some new facet of sexual energy or new awareness or opening in my body opens. And I go, oh my gosh, where'd this come from? And then I realize, oh, these days, all of these things led up to this now. So it's not just the few minutes before. It's how are you functioning in life? What are you scripting in your body, re-scripting or unwinding? And so that's why, you know, we go and maybe we relax deeply in a vacation, and finally by the end, maybe we're ready and we feel like, oh, wait, the vacation's over. You know, this is, our bodies take time to unwind. So I invite, find and connect with ways that we can meet that at a pace that is right. What is our balance, right? What is our balance in that? It's different for everybody, and it's different for everybody at different times of our lives. So in our sexuality, we have sex drive and sex awe. We have these superficial nerves at the surface that are a little easier to access. Then we have these deeper ones that are deeper physically to access, but they're also deeper emotionally to access. And now we're opening wide space. We're slowing down, going into relaxed places. This is a long and deep, juicy, fulfilling, deeply satiating process, but it is not fast. So in the moments of lovemaking, in the time when we're together, this is where I notice in my body to really access this deep place. And this is 45 minutes or more. This is several hours into lovemaking that this type of opening can happen. And as I say that, I don't mean we're 45 minutes or an hour or 2 hours into like friction-based, fast, hard, like stroke, stroke, stroke. That's different. It can be some of that, but it's about balance. How are we ebbing and flowing to open and meet the body, to cultivate the arousal and the desire from within, but also to allow it to unfurl? Can we give it space? Can we trust? Do we start to feel this building of energy in a way and then grab on and want to just ride it out? Great. Okay. There's times when that feels fun and wonderful. But can we also just feel it building instead of grabbing on and riding it to a completion? Can we watch it shift? Can we relax an area to invite it to spread? Can we share it with other areas of the body so that this is less of a genitally focused, very localized experience and becomes, this is where full body orgasm or full body tantric experiences that we may hear about, right, are talked about. This is what I mean. We're opening, we're allowing the body to invite energy to move. And it's about the balance. So there might be times in our balance in this lovemaking of sex drive and sex awe where we're building, 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 and then we're shifting, opening, allowing, spreading, sharing, letting the energy go wide and be offered to our partners and back into our bodies and feeling the circuits. But that doesn't become available if we start to feel the building, the very yang intensity of like charge, and then just follow that to sort of a peak experience, as a colleague of mine says, a sneeze in the groin, which, you know, sneezes feel good. So that's not a bad thing either. And there are other possibilities as well. So this balance in our bodies, balance in our sexuality, balance in our life, of how do we meet life? How do we meet food? How do we nourish our bodies? How do we meet our pain, cramps, menstruation isn't only about pain. How do we meet the joy of menstruating? How do we meet the joy of the deep feminine power of our moon, of our blood, of the healing, deep, rich time of moon? It's profound when we let it be and let ourselves meet that deep feminine wisdom. The invitation to slow down, the invitation to integrate that power, be with that power. So our bodies, our sexuality, the sex awe, the sex drive, letting ourselves meet all of this is a bit of our journey of balance. And noticing that there really are other facets or qualities than maybe the ones that we grew up learning about or stumbled our way into. The thing with our sexuality is so many of us didn't really learn anything conscious. We had maybe a quick sex ed class in a school, which often is really limited, doesn't have much information in it at all other than the biological mechanics of how our bodies exist, if that. But there's no discussion on the loving connection or the orgasmic, you know, energy or the nature of emotional connection. All of that tends to get just wiped over. It's just all about the plumbing. And there's so much more. And in fact, in our sacred sexuality, that's the point. This is a spiritual sexual practice of letting ourselves connect with our bodies in new ways. So with all this, we're going to come back in just a moment. Let's take a short break. And we will return to finish exploring balance.
Thank you for joining us today. You are listening live to Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. Leslie has a new website. You can find radio podcasts, videocasts, and more free resources at leslieblackburn.com. The website is mobile-friendly and also has the full class and event schedule, information on private sessions, mailing list sign-up, and much more, again, at leslieblackburn.com. Leslie offers private sessions and has helped many hundreds of individuals and couples over years on their path of sacred sexuality. Sessions are available either in person or by Skype or phone. See details on the website under Classes and Coaching. Announcing the next Sacred Sexuality Shamanic Apprenticeship. If you have been seeking a way to deepen your own practice, learn more about connecting with and sharing your own authentic gift with the world, or teaching in the realm of sacred sexuality, and if you are present and ready to accept the responsibility of looking deeply within, then this apprenticeship is for you. Register by December 11th for discounted tuition and see the website for details. There are also a couple of options for home study practices. Sacred sexuality classes on four new topics are now available by video, and you can purchase access to these at the website. And the Tantric Energy Touch workshop is available as an audio CD. Order online on the website. The best way to get announcements about upcoming events, as well as inspirational stories, videos, and radio show archives, is to subscribe to the email newsletter by clicking on the link on the website, again, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie's Sacred Sexuality Videocast airs monthly. You can choose your level of involvement, whether you want to be a part of the conversation live or sit back and take it in. See details at the website to join in. The next video cast is Wednesday, November 1st. Reminder that Leslie is available for speaking engagements. More information at the website, leslieblackburn.com. And now, back to your host, Leslie Blackburn.
Thank you, my love. And thank you all for listening in. For exploring this nature of balance in our bodies and our sexuality, our nervous systems, letting ourselves explore the balance of life and the journey of connecting with our power, with our energy, being in a body. What a beautiful gift it is to be in the body. I'm going to invite you now to take a breath and feel your body. Ah. inviting in a little bit of the slow, connected listening that's often missing in our bodies, in our days. So take a moment now. Create a space for yourself. Maybe it's lighting a candle. Maybe it's simply a breath with the intention that this is time for just you to simply be. Slow the breath, invite an exhale with sound. And what's it like to feel and drop your awareness back into your body? And what do I mean by that? I mean, do you notice that your awareness maybe is really forward up in the front lobe of your brain or up around your eyes or your face? Can you drop that back? Let your awareness come back into the center of your brain. Maybe even feeling, if you put your thumbs in the openings of your ears and then your first finger just above your ear shape, your earlobe, you know, that, and then from that line just above, maybe drop that forefinger back just a little bit so that's a little rearward of where your thumb is in the center holes. And then where your forefingers are now pointing through at each other, through your head, draw a line down the center and that point back there that line is intersecting. Can you drop your awareness there? And as we rest there, an awareness that this is a really exquisite space in the brain. And again, about balance, we often talk about bodies as parts, things, structures. The way science learned about them. Much of science learned about bodies by working with cadavers and what's left over after death, right? After life has left, the fluid nature and aliveness of our bodies has left, we're now looking at these physical structures that we get mapped and laid out and put in science textbooks and anatomy drawings. So, okay, what's it like to recognize the spot you're dropping your awareness to isn't a structure? It's a space. It's the space in between structures. The space is filled with fluid. What's it like to acknowledge the fluid in that space? The light in that space? What's it like to be wide in that space? Resting in the fluid, wide, light. In this space, in the center of the brain. Space called the third ventricle. Feel it. What is it for you? Feel it. Acknowledge fluid, light. And let yourself be with the space. As you rest your awareness there, what do you notice about your awareness? Does it change? What do you notice about your physical body? Does it change? And come back to the space. Resting in the space of light in the center of the brain. And then acknowledging a breath of gratitude for the space, for the time for resting there. And feel it as a spot to come back to. a resource? Does it change how you feel about your day? Does it change how you feel about your body? Come back here and explore. And then notice what's it like as you stay back in that space. Can you gently bring awareness, maybe even warming your hands, kind of rubbing the palms of your hands together, feeling a little lighting up of the sensory experience of your hands, and bring the palms just over your eyes. Since your eyes are in the palm openings. And then maybe staying wide in that space, gently open your eyes into the space of your palms. Notice if your awareness shifts, can you drop it back into the space? And then slowly, 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 what's it like to release the palms from your eyes and let a little light in, just a little bit at a time. And then coming back into eyes engaged with the visual world, can you drop back in that space? Does it change? So a breath of gratitude for time, for you taking with your body, listening, and acknowledging balance. Laura, what's balance feel like for your day today? In what ways can you invite balance to places that feel unbalanced? What can you offer as a nourishing balm to the places in your body that feel like they're on go, go, go mode? Or if you feel like you're in sort of a lethargic place, what can you offer to your body as a momentum to move out of that lethargic place? You decide in your balance, your spectrum, and acknowledge listening to your body with deep gratitude and acknowledgement that we are all in this together and everything's going to be okay. Namaste.
Thank you for joining us today for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn. If you'd like to contact Leslie, please visit her website, leslieblackburn.com. Leslie is available for private sessions, and you can find more information about this at the website. Thanks, everyone, for joining us, and have a beautiful day.
Join us again next time for continued support on your path of self-realization. The power is within you to heal your body, connect deeply with others, manifest your heart's desires, and experience your deepest bliss. By our healing, we impact others, inspiring love for humanity and the planet. Thank you for joining us for Sacred Sexuality with Leslie Blackburn.